Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
5-7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yeah. It's two white guys dancing in a studio.
Love this.
What? Yeah. What? Yeah. Sam Lubman, that is Carter Chickering over there. Cam Williams, he's been playing the music as we come in. Zach Green, he said some stuff about Brock Purdy last segment. He is absolutely locked in on what Indiana's doing this week. Zach, when do your Hoos play today?
12:30 on Peacock against Iowa.
Oh, okay, that's a practice game for you
away
guys.
Away game.
Iowa, I mean, they get like, what, 13 points a game? A
lot of tight ends. They definitely get
that's
that.
True, yeah. Shout out George Kittle there. Now, Carter, you were saying something to me at the break here about the weekend that we are currently experiencing. You're very high on what's going on sports-wise this weekend.
Okay, the number is 888-957-9570.
We're going to be giving out the number.
I would love someone to call in and tell us a sports weekend in the last 2 years that is better than this sports weekend. Let me run down the college slate for you here today. We have LSU number 4 at number 13, Ole Miss. That's we know the drama with Lane Kiffin. His daughter announced, hard launched, that she is dating the LSU captain linebacker this week.
Really?
Yeah. And
I didn't know that Lane Kiffin even had a daughter.
Yeah, Whit Weeks, I think is his name. He's the LSU captain on defense. His daughter announced this week as they're headed, LSU is headed to play Ole Miss, that she is dating the linebacker at LSU.
Who's she rooting for?
That's a great question, Zach. I have no idea. But pretty funny, Lane Kiffin tweeted when he saw this on Twitter. He tweeted, bet the over, which I thought was pretty funny.
I mean, if there's anyone whose kids would just actively root against them in football, it would be Lane Kiffin's kids.
100%. I mean, you got to go with the boyfriend, right? Especially if you just started dating.
So she was born in 2005. Oh, I mean, she was a year and a half old when he was coaching the Raiders.
Raiders legend.
Oh, it's still one of those things. That's one of those things. Lane Kiffin, Raiders head coach. That's one of those things like that happened in this lifetime. Like we were all alive for that. Yet if you told me that happened in like a completely separate timeline, I would believe that too. Like it's still wild to me that that was actually a thing that happened of like 30-something-year-old head coach Lane Kiffin was coaching the Raiders and then got fired by an overhead projector.
Do you hate him?
Nah, I'm not a fan of him.
Do Raiders fans hate Lane Kiffin?
I am personally not a fan of Lane Kiffin. There was a moment a few years ago, though, when I was ready to jump on the Lane train when Miami was getting ready to move off of Mark Richt. And there was, you know, the Miami Twitter was like, you know what? Let's be jerks. Let's just go get Lane Kiffin. And the man is just, he's like if a butter sandwich turned into a person.
You sound like probably what a Tennessee fan thinks of him, honestly.
Oh, they call him the man that falls up, Lane Kiffin. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Lane Kiffin. And Lane Kiffin teams are the same every year. They're really, really good, and then they're going to fall flat on their face against the elite teams. They are a stepping stone team in that they are a good team that the better teams step on their way to a championship.
That sounds kind of like our next game here for the weekend, one of the big ones. Oregon, Penn State. When you say words like that, I think James Franklin at Penn State, who has really struggled to capture the big one. You think today's the day, Sammy?
So that is in Happy Valley. So, I mean, I think he's like, what, 4-21 against top 10 teams or something like that. I mean, you talk about, oh, he's a bridesmaid, never a bride. I mean, James Franklin, Kyle Shanahan, they're that handshake meme of just dropping big games.
I'm shocked he's even won four against top 10. I really am.
I mean, the fact that he's lasted this long without being able to get over the hump, I mean, he's had a lot of success at Penn State. I still, you know, I'm picking Oregon in that one. Shout out Mark Randy.
Okay, honestly, too, what they have done though at Penn State to climb back from the hole they were in, obviously, we won't get into that. But I do think
I
it's
remember
impressive.
Exactly where I was when that story broke.
It's disgusting.
I won't get into the deep, but like I remember it was a Thursday night Miami game against Virginia my freshman year. Miami lost because it was the Al Golden years, and that's just what happened. And we're riding the bus back from Sun Life Stadium, and we all have Game 6 of the World Series going on our phones because it was Rangers-Cardinals was going on. And then someone in the back of the bus is like, yo, did you hear about this scandal going on at Penn State? And I'm like, what? Whatever, I'm sure it's not a big deal. Next day, it ended up being a pretty big deal.
Yeah, still is. It's shocking, though, to me that, you know, obviously they're a historic franchise and Joe Pa and all that, but to be able to climb out of that hole and get back to being ranked third in the country, I actually never saw
Bill O'Brien. Remember, Bill O'Brien took over in between.
Right.
And I remember his big thing, we're putting names on the jerseys again, which, whatever, I guess that matters to them in Happy Valley. But that will absolutely be a fun one there. Oregon at Penn State at 4:30
tonight.
Something
to note, too, Sammy, about that one is they're having one of their whiteouts tonight. At the game.
Everyone's doing a whiteout these days.
Yeah, but Penn State 6-0 in their last six whiteouts. Something to note.
Something's got to give.
I like Dan Lanning's Oregon Ducks though a lot, so we'll see.
You know, I remember Dan Lanning a couple years ago. Remember the year in Colorado is Dion's first year at Colorado. They got off that 4-0 start. They beat TCU, and everyone was crowning them as the next great thing in college football.
Yeah, and everyone realized their offensive and defensive lines were awful. Yeah,
exactly. So they go into, I believe it was in Eugene. They go into, and it was going to be their first big test. This is when the Pac-12 was still a thing, and they showed Dan Lanning's pregame speech. He dropped one of the hardest lines I've ever seen a coach do. He's like, you know, he's out there, while they're out there playing for clicks, we're out there playing for wins. I'm like, oh my God, they're about to eviscerate these guys. That was one of the hardest lines I've ever heard a head coach drop on a team like that, and they went out and beat the brakes off of Colorado and haven't looked back since.
Did you just add an accent for a guy who doesn't have an accent?
Does he have an accent?
I don't think so.
I thought he had a bit of an accent. We're out there playing for clicks. We're playing for, I don't know, man, all these coaches have southern accents,
Kansas State
it sounds like.
Coach now or something.
I mean, speaking of the South, though, at the same time, I hope y'all have the split screen going. Bama, Georgia at 4:30. Remember that game last year? Ryan Williams went off against Georgia. You know who didn't look good against Bama last year? Carson Beck. Or as I like to call him, Carson Garoppolo. That's the name I have for him.
You're a $4.5 million man, Sammy. You better get to like him.
Oh, God, this year can't get over fast enough so we can get a real quarterback. Carson Beck looks like he bites.
Yeah, so you know what I remember about the Ryan Williams game from Alabama last year is after he had that incredible game, Serena Williams came out on social media and was like, he's my cousin.
No way, really?
Yeah, they're fairly like distant cousins.
You have a
whatever.
Good game, and so now you can come out and find out that you're related.
Exactly. That's
what
I mean.
I just assume
so
everyone
funny.
With the name Williams is related to each other. But all this is to say, yeah, Carter, you're making the point that this is a great weekend. This is a great Saturday for watching sports.
We haven't even covered though all of it. I mean, we have
still
the
got Giants Rockies.
We have Giants Rockies, the final weekend of the year. I mean, could you think of more fun than that, Sammy? You're going to
I
all
can
the games.
Think of more fun.
The other one, obviously, the Ryder Cup or the Ryder Cup. Once every 2 years, total blessing. The U.S. struggling again, but just a wonderful event to watch. And it just is a totally new format of golf as far as the rowdiness. And we as Americans just love it, I think. We eat it up. So do the Europeans.
Well, our Europeans are eating us up right now on the Ryder Cup course. So you got that going on. You got a lot of great college action. And then, of course, tomorrow, the NFL slate.
Well, we start at 6:30 tomorrow.
That's right. We got the first international game or second international game. Do you get up for that?
We'll see. You and I have to wake up pretty early throughout the week, so it's pretty hard for me to want to get up at 6.
On the days that we don't have
exactly.
to, yeah.
But we have a lot of great matchups tomorrow. Eagles Bucks 10 a.m. window. That'll be a hell of a game, I think. It's in Tampa Bay too. I expect the Eagles to win that one personally, but it'll be a tight game. I've been really impressed with what Baker's been able to do, especially what he's been able to do.
They've been coming back in games.
Exactly.
Too.
Is what he's been able to do late in games. That's the mark of a great quarterback, right? And what he makes, God, that guy is a stud kind of.
That's one of those guys where, you know, listen, I'm all in on Brock Purdy. You know, I'm happy with Brock Purdy. No, I actually am. Like, Brock is the 49ers quarterback. I'm pretty steadfast on that. Taking the top four quarterbacks off the board, because everyone would want those four. Baker is on the short list of guys where it's just like, yeah, I might listen on that one. I like Baker's game a lot. I think Baker would be really, really good in Kyle Shanahan's offense. He's kind of like a smaller, like a slightly shorter Brock Purdy with a slightly better arm. Take away those interceptions, and I think you'd have the perfect quarterback for Kyle Shanahan and Baker Mayfield. That's not like heresy to say something like that.
Are you
going to
call me crazy if I say that I think Brock Purdy throws a better ball than Baker?
I think Baker could throw a better deep ball, but
that's fair.
I feel confident that the deep ball that Baker throws is going to end up, or I feel better that the ball that Brock throws is going to end up in a Niner receiver hands, whereas the deep ball that Baker throws, there's a little, I don't know, man, I hope that ends up in your guy's hands, but we'll see when the ball lands.
I guess, too, like the cleanliness of the spiral, where it hits the receiver in his stride, I think that Brock has a little edge on Baker in those two categories, personally.
Yeah. But I mean, again, I think their games are both so similar. I think they're both so great at extending plays with their legs, as SC just does an incredible pitch and catch trick play right here. I think they both have, there's a lot in their games that I like that I find very similar. The way that Baker is just from where he was with the Browns to where he was just banished to the Panthers to what he's found in Tampa. I love the Baker Mayfield story. Yeah, I just really like him as a quarterback. I think there's just so much good that he can do. You mentioned, again, just how he's able to line it up there with his receivers. I think him and Brock, yeah, they're very, very similar in their ability. I like Baker's deep abilities a little bit more than Brock's.
Sam, you're pointing out a great point, though, which is if you don't nurture a quarterback coming into this league, I mean, you just have no idea who will be. And look, I'll be frank. There's organizations in this league that if you get drafted to as a quarterback, good luck. And the Browns are one of them. The Jets are another one.
I think we're playing one of them this weekend in the Jaguars.
We are.
You know, we had, let's get into this a little bit. We're playing a guy in Trevor Lawrence this weekend who's the number one overall pick in 2021. And coming into that draft, he was the number one guy. There was no doubt. He was considered one of the most polished quarterback prospects that we had seen in years.
Well, now, not for 3 years. I mean, even through his college career, right? They were waiting for him to come out of college, really.
Oh, I mean, he was ready to be the number one pick after his freshman year.
100%.
And, you know, he had to wait a couple years. And again, he looked really good at Clemson. And Clemson, when you look at those Clemson teams, I mean, like you look at the LSU team that beat him in 2019 or some of the Bama teams that Mac Jones's Bama team in 2020, that dude had DeVonta Smith and Jalen Waddle on his team.
And
Joe Burrow
Ruggs
was
too.
Throwing to, and who?
Ruggs, too.
And Ruggs, too, that's right. And then Joe Burrow had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, and I believe he had Tyrion Davis-Price as his running back on that 19 team as
Correct.
Well. Meanwhile, you know, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he had a great defense on the other side of the ball, but his offense, I mean, obviously Travis Etienne, a very talented running back, but his best receivers, I mean, T. Higgins, which was a very good receiver, I don't think he's like an elite tier receiver in the same way that guys like Chase or Jefferson or, guys like A.J. Brown are or whatnot. But T. Higgins is definitely like in the elite number two tier receivers. And then he had Amari Carter, too, who I thought was an incredible receiver in college. I don't even think he's in the league anymore. I haven't heard of him since he got drafted. Trevor Lawrence did a lot of incredible things at Clemson, and he was anointed very early on. And he is a perfect example. When you go to a bad situation, you're going to have a bad time. You know, his first years with Urban Meyer, he of going to the bar and hanging out with the co-eds rather than go and fly home with his team.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I call him Silent Urban. I'm not a fan of Urban Meyer. And then he has Doug Peterson, which that just didn't go very well. And now he seems he's got a coach in Liam Cohen, who he may be a dweeb because of Duval, but he's got this team, this Jaguars team, looking pretty good early on here. And we had Mia O'Brien on earlier this year. She covers the Jaguars for ESPN Radio out in Jacksonville. Knows basically everything about the Jaguars. And she brought up a good point about Trevor Lawrence being coached hard for the first time in his career. Here's what she had to say about that.
I don't know, with all due respect to Dabo Swinney and Trevor Lawrence's high school coach, if he has ever had a head coach ream him out and rip him a new one. But as he told us after that Bengals game, he needs to be ripped a new one. And he appreciates, perhaps for the first time in his life, actually being coached hard. And I think that that is huge. And that's where you look at the Baker Mayfields and Jared Goffs of the world and you say, who's to say with Trevor Lawrence turning 26 about 10 days from now that we don't see him turn the corner that we always thought he would? Because he finally has a coach who is not only holding everyone in the organization accountable, but is also continuing to evolve with where the league is going.
So he's got some better, more accountability coaching around him right now. Will it translate to better performance? I don't know. So far in this season, he's got 4 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, a 3.5% interception rate, which would be a career high. Granted, it is 3 games into the season. But, you know, his completion percentage right now is below what his rookie year was. He's got 55% completion percentage. You know, he's been in the 60s the last 3 years. So has it translated yet? But, you know, again, we'll see, because Jaguars overall are looking like not the doormat that they have been in the past.
Well, I mean, there's just, we were listing off a couple of them, but first thing that comes to my mind is, I mean, the Carolina Panthers had Baker Mayfield lining up a defensive line in practice. I mean, literally no wherewithal.
Missed that, really?
Yeah, they had him lining up as a defensive lineman to imitate the other team's D lineman in practice. And this guy is easily a top 15 quarterback now. So, you know, when we're talking about organizations that really struggle to develop a quarterback, it's pretty obvious why when you're making stupid moves like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it's going to take for Jacksonville to break that curse for themselves. You know, the owner, he's based out of London.
That's Shad Khan, right?
Yeah, Shad Khan. There's always been rumors of him wanting to move them to London. Who knows whether that's true or not.
But I would hate that.
I guess what I'm getting at is I don't really understand what it is about some of these organizations that just can't get it together, except that a lot of them are small market teams, really.
Well, a lot of it's a lot of the same. It's a lot of the usual suspects in this, too. You know, you look back at some of these teams that have been drafted. Like, let's go back to the 2017 draft. Mitch Trubisky was the first quarterback drafted there by the Chicago Bears. You know, Chicago produced a Pope before Chicago could produce a 4,000-yard passer. I can't claim that joke as my own. I read that really off of Twitter somewhere. The Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson, I mean, that I don't think we look at the Houston Texans as a historically inept franchise, but they were pretty inept in handling the debacle that was Deshaun Watson's career.
But they have been good at drafting quarterbacks. We have to give them credit for that. Deshaun Watson was extremely effective down there, no matter what you think about him off the field. CJ Stroud was great his first year, and you and I have talked about this many times behind the glass there, Sam. I expected this from CJ, for him to regress last year. I didn't expect for him to continue to regress this year, and that is hugely concerning, I think.
And now, you start to have questions on D'Amico Ryans. And again, this is, a second talented quarterback they've drafted in the last 10 years that it's starting to slide in the other direction now. You look at the 2018 draft. We'd mentioned Baker and the Browns already. 2 picks later was our guy Sam Darnold, who his career started off with the Jets, who, you know, J-E-T-S, they S-U-C-K-S. That's the Jets there. Then you had Josh Allen, the Bills. Bills, much better run franchise. They were able to make Josh Allen work out. And then, of course, another Josh that was drafted in that one, Josh Rosen to Arizona. Another historically inept organization. And Kyler Murray quietly becoming one of their best quarterbacks in their franchise's history, which is kind of crazy to say. But, I mean, he kind of has. I mean, we were talking about the other day, the other two guys, I can't remember their names at this time. That's just how forgettable they are. But the Cardinals, again, they just another spiraling organization that can never get it right. You know, was Josh Rosen just not good, or did he go to a bad organization? Is Kyler Murray just a middle-tier quarterback, or is he just on a bad organization? And then the end of that first round, you had Lamar Jackson, the Ravens. And the Ravens, I mean, they are they just know how to do it right now. Yeah.
It's just incredible. And back to your thing about the Cardinals, too, is
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They decided with Josh Rosen, I mean, what? They gave him a year.
Oh, yeah.
And that, it was like, this guy stinks. Get him out of here, you know?
Well, didn't he have like, he had attitude issues too, or they're so the NFL said. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't remember that. I just remember thinking, good Lord, this guy had no leeway at all. But then again, he became a backup, I believe, afterward. I don't think he really ever saw the field again.
I don't even know if he's still in the league right now.
I don't think he is.
I do remember. I mean, a lot of people criticized one of the dumbest criticisms I've ever seen. They criticized Josh Rosen for having a hot tub in his apartment in college.
That's pretty.
I don't get it either. He hasn't been on a team since the Vikings in 2022. I know. I thought that was pretty cool.
I actually like him more now. Honestly,
I know. Now I kind of want the Niners. Can he be our third string quarterback today, Adrian Martinez?
Exactly.
We'll go through some of the rest of these quarterbacks here and whether or not it was their fault or their team's fault that they fell apart. But first, I want to go to the lines and talk to Spencer in San Francisco. Spencer, you got a thought on Lane Kiffin. I'm curious to hear it now.
What's up, guys? First-time listener, first-time caller.
Hell yeah.
Carter, you're doing a great job. What's up, buddy? I have never heard you enunciate so well in your entire life. Really proud of you. The Lane Kiffin saga continuation. I absolutely love this. I mean, how do you guys not do this? This guy cannot get away from controversy. Getting left on the tarmac by his team. His daughter's now banging the quarterback. The guy's about to play this week. This guy can't do it. And you're coming off of him trying to put out a documentary where he's doing yoga the entire time, trying to rebrand his image. It's a fantastic look.
Thanks, Spencer. Actually, to add on to that, I go to USF. Sam, as you know, I'm a sports management major there. And my teacher told me this week that Lane Kiffin was their favorite coach in college or professional sports as far as the media goes, because he's extremely attentive to the media. He wants like no one to be able to ask him a question after he's done, because he will explain every freaking play that they have lined up, everything for that week. So I have to say his image to me has grown. I have a lot of respect for the guy.
He's a butter sandwich turned into a person in my eyes, you know, Lane Kiffin is just, he's the guy who he's never going to make that next level. He's always going to be a tier two coach in my eye. And you know what, if he's fine with being that guy, he's probably not, but that's just the way it is for Lane Kiffin. You know, he doesn't move the needle enough for me to have an opinion either way. That being said, as I contradict myself a little bit, I enjoy when he loses.
So Sam, let me throw something at you then. He, you know, Jackson Dart was his quarterback last year. He said,
speaking of bad organizations, New York Giants, who obviously Daniel Jones drafted in 2019. Was Daniel Jones bad or the Giants bad? Jackson Dart's about to find out the answer to that question.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, though. The Colts have really struggled to find a quarterback for a long time now, too. I want to say they have double digits in the last like 5 years.
Ever since Andrew Luck went down?
Yes,
yeah.
There was some stat. I'll find it at the break here. But, you know, clearly they're doing a great job with Danny Dimes. I mean, he's in the MVP conversation already. And if you look at his stats through the season, through three games, they are extremely comparable to Josh Allen's. They're almost identical, which is crazy to say.
Yeah, no one, I think, saw this coming with Daniel Jones. I think we all left him for dead in New York. And he had a couple. I think Joe Judge was his first coach, and then it was Brian Daboll.
Sounds right.
And neither one of those guys are going absolutely anywhere as far as head coaches go. Maybe it was just a bad organization, not a bad quarterback. Looking at the 2020 draft, obviously Joe Burrow, he's had a lot of success. Tua in Miami. I have never been a Tua guy, ever. I think I've said it numerous times. Tua's been eating off of one pass his entire life, and that is the pass that he threw to Devontae Smith in the national championship game to beat Georgia. I don't think he's done anything all that spectacular ever since then. And now he's got this big contract. He's taking shots at Cam Newton because Cam Newton's criticizing him. And he's like, oh, I'd like to see anyone off the street come play this. It's like, Tua, no, it's not. That's not the issue. The issue is you're just not that good.
Yeah, and responding that to Cam Newton, who won an MVP, is pretty funny.
Playing a
anyone off the street. Yeah, it's not quite anyone off the street.
In the Dolphins, you talk about a team that's going through a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, they have been wandering the quarterback desert ever since Dan Marino retired. I mean, that is a
great point, Sam.
That is an organization. I mean, the Dolphins, I won't say are a completely dysfunctional organization, but not a well-run organization either. You know, their owner, Stephen Ross, does not run the tightest of ships, but I'm not going to put them on the same level of dysfunction as, say, the Cleveland Browns. Also in that 2020 draft, Justin Herbert took them a minute to get things figured out. He's in a much better situation now. Who'd have thought that playing for Jim Harbaugh would be better than playing for Brandon Staley? Chargers, they right now look like, you know, when you're looking at the AFC, obviously we think about the Chiefs and the Ravens. Both those teams are 1-2. The Bengals, they're done. Joe Burrow out. The Chargers look like the team that's going to be up there with the Bills right now. They look really, really good right now.
I want to see them add around him. Like, it just, this team has been great in the trenches now for a couple years under Herbert, and he just doesn't really have anything beside Keenan Allen, right? Like, that's his only toy, and Ladd McConkey, of course,
well,
now.
Ladd McConkey, too, yeah.
But I just, you
know. Well, Jim Harbaugh teams don't really need to throw that much. They got a couple good running backs, and they're good.
Well, I mean, they have Omarion Hampton and now no Najee Harris.
That's true. Yeah, they did lose Najee.
I mean, and I have Omarion Hampton in two fantasy leagues. He's been okay. I mean, but, you know, Justin Herbert can sling the thing. Like, let's put some people around him. I'm glad he has Keenan Allen back because they have good rapport and they continue to keep building on it no matter Keenan's age. So I just would like to see them, you know, add something to the skill position personally down there.
Yeah. So again, all this to say is, yeah, when we talk about quarterbacks who are bust, again, this is all centering around Trevor Lawrence and why things have not worked out for him. This could be a situation where maybe, again, Liam Cohen, as dorky as he may be, is he the guy to kind of create the situation that is good enough for Trevor Lawrence? We will see firsthand tomorrow where that progress is. Can the 49ers improve to 4-0? If they improve to 4-0, are we allowed to be happy about it? Are we allowed to be positive about it? Can we celebrate and feel good about this 49ers season if they are 4-0 heading into Los Angeles, not St. Louis, to play the Rams? We'll get into that on the other side because, again, Steiny's friend Harry.
October 4th, meet Zaza Pachulia, Festus Ezeli, Kalina Azabuki, Tim Roy, and Bonte Hill. Plus, enter to win Warriors tickets. For more info, visit 957thegame.com.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the 95.7 The Game weekend wrap, as I like to call it. You know, we're talking some football right now. We are going to talk a little bit basketball at some point because, you know, the Kuminga crisis is still ongoing. We are waiting a resolution. You know what else we're waiting for, Dub Nation? And that is the preseason's right around the corner. And 95.7 The Game is tipping things off in style. Join us at Pier 39 on Saturday, October 4th. That is a week from today. For the Warriors preseason special. You will not want to miss this. We got live appearances from Warriors favorites like Festus Ezeli, Zaza Pachulia, Kalena Azabuki, and of course, everyone's favorite Warrior celebrity.
Find the drop.
Ah, trying to.
It's time to play Dub Nation's favorite game.
All right, well, that was a massive fail on touching the touch board right there for
the
drop.
I tried
to play the King's Tailbed for Bonte Hill. He's going to be there too. Serves me right for trying to freewheel it there. Plus, your chance to win tickets for the first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th. That's a week from tomorrow, Carter.
Ooh.
As the Warriors host J.J. Redick, he of his timed out naps, and the Lakers. If that's not enough, Ian hang out with Evan Giddings and Daryl the Guru Johnson, because they're going to be broadcasting live from 12 to 4 p.m. It's hoops, it's hypes, it's Guru, it's the season is almost here, and on your station for everything Warriors, 95.7 The Game, be locked in next weekend. It's a preseason special, Carter. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that'll be a blast. I'm definitely going to have to show up for that. I mean, come on. Goo and Evan together in the afternoon.
It's like most. Good. That's like Goo and Evan from 10 to 2 every day.
Yeah, good point.
I'm gonna be thinking about how I just completely botched that the drops in that read right there. That's gonna sit with me for the rest of the show.
You know what I keep thinking of, Sam, is how we did the NFL coach comparison to 95.7 hosts yesterday, and you brought up a team who's been wandering the desert for a quarterback. And Guru calling himself Don Shula yesterday was one of the great.
That's the 143 IQ right there that Guru has. You know, that's why Guru's one of the best.
He's true.
He's got the most wins at this station, I would hazard to guess. You know who's got a lot of wins right now? San Francisco 49ers. And apparently, according to one listener of this station, a friend of Matt Steinmetz, who only a friend of Matt Steinmetz could chime in with a take like this. Apparently being too happy about this 3-0 start is no bueno for some 49er fans. So we got this email earlier in the week. We discussed this on Thursday, but we'll discuss it a little bit again today. From Matt Steinmetz's friend, Harry. Harry says, "I can't listen to the show anymore, Matt. There is just too much fluff in it. I know you have to please the audience, but all that's... but that's not the way I travel." This is what I assume Harry's voice sounds like. "I need to listen to a sports talk show that tells the truth. Here we have a 49er team that should have lost to New Orleans, the worst team in the league, some say, but win because a player from NO drops a ball in the end zone. It's talked about as a great win. And then we have the Arizona game, where the Niners should have lost by 10 points, but won because of two drop balls for 14 points. The Niners look totally bad in the first half and not much better in the second half. The Niners should be 1-2, but you guys play up that they are 3-0, did great sticking it out in three close games, etc., etc. There is no mention that they won those two games due to three drop balls for touchdowns by the other team. The Niners are a below-average team, just barely squeaking by these crappy teams. It's not for me. I want to hear an honest evaluation. I'll check with you when the regular season starts for the NBA, but I'm sure I will hear the same BS. Take care, and I hope things work out for you. Signed, Harry."
That, Sam, that was some of your best work.
I assume that's just what Harry sounds like. I don't know. I would love to hear Harry and Steiny have a conversation.
Yeah,
about sports. I would love to hear the negativity that would come out of that conversation.
Steiny, the optimist in the relationship.
You know what? The fact I get Harry's email, you know things are bad when Steiny goes optimistic. So maybe there is some valid concerns there. But I like how, I'm gonna tune back for the NBA for more fluff. Because again, that's when I think NBA fluff, I think Matt Steinmetz. But Harry, thank you very much for this message. So apparently we can't be too excited about this 3-0 start. How much of it is, Harry's point, they did win in New Orleans and against Arizona because some receivers had the dropsies. That is a thing. You could say the Niners got lucky. I like to say that, you know what, maybe if the players were better, they catch those balls. Maybe if the teams they played were better, they win those games. How much of it is that versus the fact that everyone's just in shambles right now because of the Nick Bosa injury?
Well, can we go back then to last year and say that the Niners were 7-10 because what's-his-face in L.A. didn't catch that ball?
Which one, Debo or?
Name? Who we let go from the team? Receiver. I'm just totally.
Wait, which year was this?
Last year.
In
L.A.
Ronnie Bell. That's right.
Well done, Cam. Yeah,
Ronnie.
Can we go back and say, Ronnie Bell makes that catch?
I mean, you could say a lot of things. If Jake Moody makes that kick, if Jake Moody makes that other kick, if Jake Moody makes that extra point, you can play this game all day long with everything. I always like to quote the Doctor Strange line, the 14 million outcomes. There's so many different outcomes that could happen here. And this is the one the Niners got where they are 3-0. Again, it comes down to you are what your record says you are. And the Niners, you could say they executed when the other teams didn't. Why is that on the fault of the Niners?
I'm not sure what the expectation is. Are they supposed to be blowing teams out, divisional teams? I mean, as Steiny said, and I guess Bonte's been getting the credit for this, which is just hysterical to me because this has been around since prior to me being born, which is divisional games are hard. I mean, they're hard.
It was actually a Bob Spadoni that coined that one. Spadoni's father.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. He was the first. Yeah. No, I mean, divisional games are hard. They're going to be hard. They're always going to be, I think, within a score. I mean, period. And at the end of the day, as you just said, your record is what you are. And I don't care about the injuries right now because guess what? We're sitting at 3-0. Now, when it comes to Sunday and being in the game, I'm going to care about the injuries. But to poo-poo a team that's 3-0 with two divisional wins sitting atop the NFC West is just silly to me.
I think you can make the argument that the Niners have probably the most impressive 3-0 start in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFL, which whatever weight you want to put on that, that's on you, Carter, the guys in the back, and you, the listener. You could put as much weight on that as you want. You know, we're three games in the year. This is the sample size we have to work with. But the way the Niners have gotten to 3-0 with a hobbled receiving core, you know, keep in mind, again, no George Kittle, no DeMarcus Robinson. Juwan Jennings showed up 6.5 minutes before that first game against the Seahawks. You don't have Brandon Ayuk. You might never have Brandon Ayuk again. I mean, you will, but right now it feels like you won't. And Kyle Shanahan, instead of leaning on the run game in the absence of a pass game, basically generating a pass game out of thin air with Christian McCaffrey and Ricky Pearsall. Oh, and also having Mac Jones as his quarterback. It is damn impressive that the Niners are 3-0, all things considered, I think. And again, two wins against divisional opponents, and we saw those divisional opponents play on Thursday night, Carter. I felt a lot better about the Niners' 2-0 divisional record after watching that Cardinals-Seahawks game.
I mean, Sam, we were going into the season, and there was, what, 5 or 6 question marks on defense of who would even start at those positions. Think about that. We're sitting at 3-0 now with almost none of their receivers, no George Kittle. Obviously, they lose Bosa last week. He only plays a quarter. They still get through that game, another divisional opponent, against a tough Cardinals team who fought back Thursday night against the Seahawks. If you don't feel good about that, I think you're crazy. I think Harry's crazy to not feel good about that. I do.
Yeah. And now again, we talked about this with Shasky, and Shasky made a very good point the other day that I felt him on it. And he said he's hesitant as a fan to embrace what's going on here because he doesn't want to get hurt again. You know, as I said, he's the opposite of the Michael Scott meme. You know, no doubt about it, I am not ready to get hurt again. And I do understand that. That's the emotional concept of fandom. I will respect that. But if you take the emotion out of it, though, and just look at the performance that we are seeing, you look at how the Niners have started off 3-0. Again, they have two wins over divisional opponents. The only other team of the 3-0 teams that could say that right now are the Bills, who beat the Jets and Dolphins, and the Chargers, who have wins over the Chiefs, Raiders, and Broncos. The Bills, though, they've beaten the Ravens, Jets, and Dolphins, which, you know, Ravens, that's a pretty good win there. The combined record of the Bills' victims, let's call them that, 1-8. The Chargers, the combined record of the opponents they've beaten, 3-6. The combined record of the 49ers' opponents that they've beaten, 4-5. Like, yeah, the Saints are not a very good team. They're going to be in the top five. They're looking for a whole new team right now. What the Seahawks did, especially against the Saints the next week, like, that offense looks really good right now. The Cardinals, I think they're probably a six-win team, 6-7-win team. it's still a plucky team that with playmakers that can hurt you if you're not careful. I have a hard time shaking a stick at what the Niners have done, considering that they've had an arm tied behind one back and they lost a knee last week.
I'm with you, Sam. See, the Seahawks put up 35 points before the half in New Orleans. I mean, that is really impressive. And for the Niners to go up to Seattle, a place that they have struggled mightily.
We seem to forget that.
Prior to Purdy, right? Prior to the new...
There's the 2019 Sunday night game. I feel like that was the...
The Dre Greenlaw being stopping exactly. At the goal line. 100%.
That was kind of where the seal was broken on that.
100%. That really eased Niners' heads about going up there to Seattle. But, you have to say when you're walking in with five new defenders on defense, you're going against a team that is able to put up points like that. I mean, in this Thursday night game, too, they got those 20 pretty quickly. I mean, they didn't score much after that, but they got those 20 pretty quickly. And, you know, Darnold's look good. So I think when you're looking at that game, because I'm kind of right now, Sam, and I don't know if you're in this boat, too, it's hard for me to take much from the 49ers on offense from the last two games when you're starting Purdy this week, right? Like, I just kind of threw those out. I really looked over the Seahawks game, and I feel really good about it, having watched what Darnold was able to do. I mean, he was dicing against the Cardinals. I know that they're out of quite a lot of corners, but for us to plug in five new secondaries and have the secondary be such a question going into the season and do that in Seattle, you got to be happy.
Again, now, what does that mean going forward, though? Because I do think that's kind of the other part of the equation here is, you know, three games does not a season make. Just because you start 3-0, granted, 74% of teams who start 3-0 do make the playoffs. Conversely, you can also say, if you're one of those, the glass is a quarter empty people, 26% of teams that start 3-0 do not make the playoffs. Off the top of my head, can I remember the last team that started 3-0 did not make the playoffs? No, I cannot. Maybe if someone in the YouTube chat... I can think of one, which is
when McDaniels coached the Broncos and they started 5-0, I think they missed the playoffs then.
Okay, well, that was Josh McDaniels' team, so that's probably why that happened. You know, I'm a YouTube chat. Someone do some work here. Find out the last team that started 3-0 and did not make the playoffs. Mischler, no. I'm going to challenge you guys. First one to get it gets a point. But going forward, though, I think where a lot of the consternation comes from is the fact they don't have Nick Bosa. And we saw, you know, Bosa go down in 2020 for the rest of the year, and the entire season fell apart after that. Niners defense that year was still pretty damn good. Yards allowed-wise, they were top five in rushing and passing yards allowed. They were middle of the pack in terms of scoring defense. A big part of it is he had some blowout games that obviously skew things. As that team had to go to, you know, Arizona for the last month of the year, that kind of screwed things up. You look up the average drive started for the 49ers defense. They were usually starting on their own 30. So they had basically a 70-yard field to defend on average, where the league leaders had, you know, were starting on the 25 or the 24. So you had shorter fields there, which probably a product of struggling offense that the Niners had in 2020, which they did. I don't know if you remember, Carter, but Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard were getting a lot of starts for the Niners in 2020 as Jimmy Garoppolo dealt with injuries. Why do I keep bringing up 2020 is because at the end of the day, the guy running the defense that year is Robert Saleh, and he's now back running the defense. Saleh did such a great job running that defense in 2020 that the New York Jets were like, yep, that's our guy. I mean, it's the Jets, so do what you will with that. I know. But if there's anyone who is equipped to lead this defense right now, it is Robert Saleh, and that is part of the reason why, you know, as much as it sucks that Bosa is done for the year, I think you're as well equipped to handle his absence as you possibly could be.
Yeah, I think the tools that they have around Nick Bosa this year are some of the best tools we've had in a while. I mean, obviously, I go back to that 2019 team, Bosa's rookie year, where you had Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner. That was probably, I mean, that was the best tools you had around him. But I would probably put this second. I mean, I'm impressed with this kid, Mykel Williams, man. He had six pressures on last Sunday, put him at the forefront of pressures for the team. Obviously, Bosa went out early, so that's kind of a skewed number. But I don't care. I've been watching him quite a lot, and the thing that really impresses me, I'm not sure he's a great pass rusher necessarily, or he stands out and you know, whatever. But I think he has really good instincts. And I think that he can recognize, oh, you know, this guy doesn't have the ball. This guy does have the ball. I think that he can react really quickly. And that's something I really like in a guy who's playing on the edge there. And his ability to go inside.
Yeah.
He's versatile. And they're going to need that now that Nick Bosa's out.
Again, yeah, the pressure's going to be on him. The pressure is going to be on Bryce Huff as well. And yeah, to your point there, I Mykel Williams, that first week against Seattle, I thought it was a quiet game for him. You know, yeah, he got some push on the line, and but overall, it was his first game. I think it was his first time suiting up on the field because he didn't play in the preseason games, so he was a little behind the eight ball there. These last 2 weeks, especially against Arizona, there were some plays where I thought he did a great job. There was a James Conner run earlier in that game where, you know, Conner's going off to the right side, Williams is lining up on the left side. Williams did a great job, I think it was like in the first quarter, crashing down on the line, making the play behind the line of scrimmage. Later on in that game, he blew up DeMarcado on a run after James Conner went down. I mean, those are the kind of hype plays that I like to see from Mykel Williams that really get me excited. I mean, it sucks we're not going to be able to see him and Bosa work together this year.
Sam, I'm with you, man.
It's, you know, and Bryce Huff, he's not an every down guy. Eater Gross Matos, we're going to need to see more from him. I think he's questionable right now. He didn't practice yesterday. That's a little concerning. I will say this. If you are nervous about the future of this season, they can't afford any more injuries on the defensive line. I will say that. And that is not a fun place you want to be in 3 weeks into the season.
Sam, one more time, we haven't really talked about and at this station at all is the loss of CJ West, too. He was really good in the preseason. If you were watching the games closely, and I was up in the press box watching them with binoculars, and I literally was not watching the game. I was only watching the defensive linemen because that was where the highest two picks were. That was who I cared about the most. And CJ West was taking double team after double team, and he was holding his own against it. And he's one guy I'm really excited to see get back. I don't know when that'll be, but I think he's really going to give them a boost when he gets back.
Well, I believe he's going to be playing. He is going to be coming back soon. He had surgery on the thumb, so he's out this week right now. He's listed as out. I assume that's irreversible, so he will not be on the field this weekend. The week after, though, when they go to Los Angeles, I almost said St. Louis again. I don't know if he's going to be playing with the club. We'll see there, but he is, once the surgery's done and once he does get that club on, he is expected to be playing. So that'll be good there, too. The other guy who I need to see more of is Alfred Collins. That guy, he is a lot of bull rush, which when you look at his size, that makes sense. Need to see a little bit more from him. Again, though, he was, you know, third, fourth round, something like that.
He was second.
Second round. Okay, I got him in West's draft position mixed up. But even still, there's a little bit of a work in progress there with Collins. I saw him getting a little pushback, a little too much during the preseason. But here in the regular season, I've seen some positive push. I've seen some negative push. We'll see how that develops there. But then it gets into the next level. And this is the unit on this team that I feel the best about. And it's the linebackers. It is Fred and D. Winters and the two-man wrecking crew that those guys are. D. Winters is making us, I think, we have not mentioned Dre Greenlaw once this year other than to be like, hey, did you see how Dre Greenlaw wasn't playing on Sunday for the Broncos? D. Winters, like, Cam Inman came on with Bonte and I last year, and he was like, D. Winters, man, people are saying Navarro Bowman. Well, no, D. Winters, now it's Dre Greenlaw. Like, that is who he looks like out there. That dude is a savage, just destroying people sideline to sideline right now.
Yeah, I told you during the preseason, prior to the preseason, I didn't think that there was, for me, much concern of whether he could play. I never thought that this kid couldn't play. It's, can he stay on the field? I mean, he's had trouble staying on the field. When he's been in, though, he's been great. I mean, and you know what? We've seen it in kind of both levels. He can really get sideline to sideline and track down running backs, but we saw it in coverage, too, last Sunday. I mean, at that back of the corner in the end zone there, I think it was DeMarcado. I mean, that was a great play. He saved a touchdown there and, you know, did the whole fasten the safety belt to celebration afterward. And it's just good to see a guy step into that spot who's so rangy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because that's what Fred Warner's so great at. I mean, his coverage for a linebacker is just incredible. He puts the pop on people.
We don't talk about the coverage that much because, again, we look at Fred as being a guy who can light people up. D. Winters is a guy who can light people up. Fred has been batting down passes. He had a couple batted passes against Kyler Murray. Granted, it helps that Kyler Murray is my height. but he's been all over the place. He has been all pro Fred so far this year. And him and D. Winterskin, they're going to start bringing the pressure. And that's what I like about this defense is the ways they're able to find that pressure. Robert Saleh dialing up the blitzes in a way that Nick Sorensen was just incapable of doing. He's gotten Upton Stout in on a couple of blitzes so far this year. Upton Stout, by the way, I'm curious where you're at on him. I think he has been learning a lot. I think there's a lot to like about Stout. There's been some mistakes in there, too. He had a very up-and-down game, I thought, this last weekend against the Cardinals. You know, there's a play in the first quarter where, you know, the receiver Wilson gets by him. Kyler ends up overthrowing him, so he got lucky there. He got turned around by Marvin Harrison on a play as well. But then in the fourth quarter, you know, there's the pass to Zay Jones late in the game that he kind of knocks out of his hands. Frentz helps prevent a score there.
It's huge.
That was an incredibly clutch play. Like, that is what, you know, I love quoting the Santana Moss, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. That was a big-time play right there from the young Upton Stout. And I think teams are going to be picking on him at times this year because he is a rookie. I expect he's going to take some lumps. He will. He's going to get burned a couple times. He's a rookie. It happens. But I feel very good about what he looks like right now and the player he could become later on in his career.
So we talk about sticky man coverage, right? We heard that a lot last year, mm-hmm. right? He's quite good at the sticky man coverage. My one concern with him, and you and I have also talked about this, is remember when the 49ers posted that clip of him where they were like,
I do.
Yeah.
Look at this great coverage. And it's just like there's at least two or three pass interferences in this
it's
play.
It's very obviously pass interference. And we've seen
a lot of people get angry with me about that one, actually.
Oh, I didn't even think it was close. I thought it was very clear pass interference.
Oh, no, I posted that clip. I'm like, this looks like pass interference. And like people would have thought I'd like punch their mother with the responses I was getting. You don't know ball. You're not a ref. Blah, blah, blah. You're stupid. You don't know what pass interference is. It's like, is sorry for just being real.
When you're tugging the jersey when someone's coming out of their cut,
you
I think that's
them.
Yeah, and then he falls. I think it's usually going to be pass interference. So that's my only thing with him. I think that he can really keep up with receivers. His aggression, you just definitely don't need to question. I think he's just amazing when it comes to that. It's just maybe let's temper that aggression a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't
love
want
the spirit of it, though.
Yeah, I love the spirit of it, but if you're getting PI calls, like, you're not helping that much, right? So mm-hmm. I think he is the guy. I actually think I was talking with a friend this week about it. If anyone's taking a step back this year, it's probably Renardo Green compared to him, honestly.
Beat me to it. We'll get into that a little bit more on the other side. Jan, I see you. We'll get to you on the other side as well. Niner fans, I mean, is it okay to feel good about this 3-0 team? Granted, I think you can look ahead of the I mean, obviously they're not going to go undefeated. They are going to lose games at some point. But I think right now, all things considered, you can legally feel very good about the direction of this team. And I still think playoffs are very much in the cards for this team. So we'll get into that a little bit more on the other side. Plus, the Kuminga crisis. Media day is on Monday. Does that get resolved? And do we have a few minutes? Justin Verlander, he might be making his final start for the Giants today. Got some thoughts on that as well.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.